Tom Kirkle in the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. All right, your weather forecast for today, going to be partly cloudy, continued cool, high only around 61 degrees. Right now in Kenosha, it's partly cloudy, 52, 46 in Burlington, 54 Milwaukee, and in Racine, we're mostly cloudy, 53 degrees. Mount Pleasant police say an elderly woman was killed, her husband critically injured as they were struck by a vehicle while attempting to walk across busy Highway 20 east of Sunny Slope Drive. Names of the victims have not been released at this point. The 71-year-old woman died at the scene despite life-saving attempts. Her 74-year-old husband taken to Frederick Hospital with head and internal injuries. The couple walking north, though not in a marked crosswalk, when hit by the westbound vehicle driven by a 44-year-old Mount Pleasant man described as very distraught but cooperative. Members of the State Patrol's accident reconstruction team were brought in for the investigation, which closed the westbound lanes from Emerson Road, creating some problems along that two-lane stretch as well as on 16th Street. Children need to be protected from the possibility of a flat-screen TV falling on them. Joe Ramsey with this warning from safety and medical experts.
Sampling televisions can severely injure or even kill small children, especially toddlers. And these accidents are likely to become more common because today's larger, thinner TVs are more easily toppled when not mounted properly. That's according to researchers in Toronto who say more than 80% of reported injuries occurred at home, and 3/4 of the incidents were not witnessed by adult caregivers. The researchers warn a lot of parents and grandparents grew up in a time when TVs were sturdier, a piece of furniture in their own right, so they do not think of TVs as being a hazard in the home. I'm Joe Ramsey.
Bond set at $3 million for a Kenosha man accused of murdering his estranged wife in Gurnee, Illinois over the weekend. David Broxham in Lake County Circuit Court on a charge of first-degree murder. Beata Broxham found dead outside of her home Sunday. Lake County News Sun indicates that Dave Broxham drove to Gurnee from Wisconsin's Dells, where he had left his two children in a hotel room. When he got to his wife's home, they argued, Broxham claiming his wife had knocked him out, was standing over him with a gun when he came to, and was shot during a struggle over the weapon. He then texted his girlfriend, asking her to go get his kids, then went to his mother's home in Kenosha to clean up. Broxham arrested Sunday evening as he drove to the Gurnee Police Department. On Capitol Hill, both chambers of Congress are going to be working on a short-term spending bill today, trying to avoid a government shutdown.
This morning, the Senate plans to pass a spending bill to keep the U.S. government running, leaving hours to spare for the House to vote on it before a potential government shutdown. Existing funding for the government expires at the end of the day. The short-term spending bill, H.R. 719, would fund the government through December 11th and also fund Planned Parenthood. I'm Joe Gomez.
In Madison, Democrats in the state legislature once again calling on the governor to reconsider his decision to reject federal funding for expanding Medicaid program.
Wisconsin's refusal to take the funding was something Governor Scott Walker referred to several times while he was seeking the Republican presidential nomination. Now that his campaign is over, Democratic State Senator Janet Bewley says reexamining that decision should be a top priority.
Job one is to undo the governor's decision that leaves $360 million Wisconsin dollars in Washington for no reason other than partisan politics.
Walker's office did not respond to a message seeking comment, although the governor had previously shot down similar requests. In rejecting the funding, Walker and Republicans cited concerns about whether it would be available in the future or if states would end up shouldering the costs. Andrew Beckett, Wisconsin Radio Network.
City of Racine has until October the 5th to respond to motions made by several former minority bar owners against a summary judgment request in a lawsuit claiming racial discrimination, which could result in a federal judge's decision to either continue the case for a scheduled November 16th trial or dismiss it. Plaintiffs earlier accepted dismissal of racketeering allegations, which prompted the city's motion to essentially dismiss the case for lack of evidence. That is disputed by the former bar owners, who maintain there is still plenty of evidence to show they were treated differently in licensing and discipline than white owners. The list of plaintiffs led by Mayor John Dickert, while including current and former aldermen, plus a former mayor and police chief. Building two new elementary schools and expanding another in Racine Unified has presented some challenges for the school district and its general contractor when it comes to meeting previously established goals for hiring local and minority contractors. At the Board of Education meeting this week, Barb Riley with Riley Construction explained the four-step outreach and recruitment process, going over spreadsheet details, also noting that with Olympia Brown, the week began at 42% local for a goal of 50%.
We still have two-thirds of the firms to be signed up for this project. For the 10% minority contractors, we are only at 0.4%. But there is a firm, and I won't name the firm, that if we get approval from Racine Unified to make the award after it's submitted within, I think, the next couple days, that'll jump that 0.4% to 5%.
Riley indicating the biggest obstacles to the 10% minority contractor provision have been other regional projects also competing, plus union opposition to non-union participation. Unified Chief Operations Officer David Hazen said some of the criteria actually turned out to be counterproductive.
We could get minority contractors, but they wouldn't be local. So we've kind of prioritized local is important. Minority contractors, you know, I would rather have a local Racine person than a minority contractor from Milwaukee, because we want to keep the dollars in the community. Then we have the issue with the unions, and some of the minority or other local contractors may not be part of the union. So we've got to try to work that out. It's a little bit of a tightrope that we try to walk in order to meet these goals that have been put forward by the board.
Board President Melvin Hargrove encouraging more efforts at finding minority contractors and laborers, noting it is an issue not lost on the community, which approved the referendum. The shuttered Mount Pleasant Fire Station on Sheridan Road in the Lake Park area is being eyed now as a new home for a local fraternal organization. John Shelby's Chief Executive Officer of Council 697 with the Knights of Columbus of Racine told the Village Board at this week's meeting they've been looking for a viable site for about a year now, think the fire station has possibilities, presented the board with a proposed lease agreement.
We would be willing to take care of all of the insurance, the repairs, the utilities, and the maintenance of the area outside there and the residential area, and leave the storage area to the use of Mount Pleasant, which I understand you have to have for additional ambulance and an antique fire truck at the present time.
Said the organization suggesting a two-year lease, possibly with an option to buy. Afterward, the meeting that is, Village Administrator Kurt Wallen said, Knights of Columbus is the first group to express an interest in the building. That proposal going to the Finance Legal Licensing Committee for some discussion. Could be a big winner in tonight's Powerball lottery game, which carries a $301 million top prize. That is the largest jackpot since back in February. That's if somebody happens to get all the correct numbers. Either the jackpot will get bigger or Saturday's jackpot will go back to the starting point of $40 million. And at that point, Powerball's odds are going to be revamped to actually give players a much better chance at winning any prize, but greatly reducing the shot at the big jackpot. Somebody who probably doesn't need the Powerball is going to be the richest man here in Wisconsin. That is John Menard. Forbes 400 ranking the list with Menard at number 49, the richest person in America. That is up 10 spots from last year's list with a reported net worth of $9.2 billion. Kohler Chairman Herbert Kohler moving up from 90th place to 65th. His net worth, $7.4 billion. 9 of the 10 Wisconsin billionaires actually improved their rankings on this year's list versus last year. We're not among them. WRJN.com, that is your source for our local news whenever you want it. And listen to the podcast, the newscast that we have there in the local news section. You go there. Also get our news updates at WRJN News. That's on Twitter. I'm Tom Karkle, AM 1400 WRJN News.